What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Black Corporate Life Podcast, where we're breaking the silence and revealing the unwritten rules and hidden truths that govern corporate America. I'm your host, James Friesen. In this groundbreaking series, we're leaving no stone unturned. Join us as we champion authenticity and transparency and bring these topics front and center, one episode at a time. In today's episode, we'll talk about how to take a break from your career to invest in yourself. This is an episode you don't want to miss. Our guest today is Katrina McGee, who is a career break and sabbatical coach, speaker, and author of the best-selling book, Taking a Career Break for Dummies. With her wealth of knowledge and experience, Katrina helps mid-career professionals design transformative life breaks that lead to happiness, personal growth, and lasting change. Katrina developed the Break Blueprint, a guiding framework she's used to help nearly 100 clients rejuvenate their lives by taking a break to travel the world, launch a business, write a novel, change careers, and more. Katrina's work was inspired by her own 20-month career break, where she saved $40,000 in just 18 months to quit her corporate job to travel around the world. As an avid world traveler and digital nomad, her expertise on career breaks and travel has been featured in prestigious outlets such as Forbes, Smarter Travel, Thrive Global, and Yahoo. Now, I've known Katrina for over 15 years since she was an MBA student at UNC Chapel Hill, and I'm excited that she's come to share with us today. Katrina, welcome to the show.
Oh my gosh, I've been looking forward to this for weeks, James. The day has come and I'm so ready for this conversation.
Yes, thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. You have a great background and just a wealth of knowledge and experience for a topic that we don't hear about often. So I'm excited for us to dive into this today. And so to kick us off, Katrina, why don't you start by just tell us a little bit about your career and how did you get to where you are today?
Yeah. The work I do is all about liberating high-achieving professionals that feel really exhausted and are tired of the grind, but feel trapped by their success, right? Wanting more freedom, more fulfillment, but just feeling like they've come too far to turn away. And that is my story. So the work I do was born of my own journey. And I was a quintessential amazing student, right? I went to a really good school. I majored in math. I was like, what am I going to do with this degree? I want to do something that makes money. I became an actuary. I took all the math exams for the actuarial certification process. I didn't finish with the insurance ones, but I became like really good at my job and ultimately knew at the same time it wasn't what I wanted. But talk about golden handcuffs, great job security, great pay, lots of upward momentum. So I made a very, what I thought at the time, smart plan. I went to get my MBA and I thought, okay, I can change my life. I can change my career. I can find that fulfillment and that freedom I'm looking for by just changing my job. And so I had a really great time in business school. I learned a lot. I connected to a lot of people. Again, excellent student, right? If I have a mission, I'm going to tackle it without regard to what's actually in my own best interest. So I landed like 6 internships for the summer and was just on this path, crushing it. So I thought. And I ended up taking a job with General Mills after graduation. I was lucky to have that job lined up before I graduated. And I went out there. And about 8 months in, I realized this felt worse. Instead of moving forward and up in a way that felt good, I was moving, air quotes, forward and up in a way that didn't feel good and didn't feel aligned. And it didn't put me in spaces that let me be who I wanted to be in the ways that I wanted to be that version of me. And so I got a life coach. I realized many months in, after I had to practice giving myself permission to do things that I wanted to do, I was able to create space to realize I wanted to take a break. I wanted to quit my job and just travel the world. But that in 2011, when I had this idea, was mind-blowing. Didn't have Instagram or really, you know, other sources to see people doing this and giving me examples that it was possible, that everything was going to be okay at the end of it. But I just knew in my heart that was what I needed. So I saved $40,000, quit my job, traveled around the world, did a lot of things, came back and landed 5 job offers in 5 weeks. And that was a pivotal moment. I'm sure we'll come back to that as far as the work I do now. But I decided to go back to corporate, become debt-free. I found a job I really enjoyed working at until I didn't. And then I got certified as a life coach on the side, started my coaching business, and then moved into it full-time. And I've been coaching now for 7 years.
So that took a lot of courage to step out on faith and do something like that. And the crazy thing about it is it goes completely against the grain of what they teach you in business school, what they prepare you for, what they talk about in corporate America. You can't have any gaps in your experience, all the things, right? So how did you overcome that barrier? Because I know it was a lot mental barriers that you had to overcome to make that decision.
Absolutely. I mean, so many barriers. I think at the end of the day, I knew I was in charge of the life I had. I did not like it. It did not feel true to me. I think up until that point, I kept believing if you just take the next step, if you just do the next thing that you're supposed to do, like the good is waiting for you. It's going to feel so good. It's going to feel so good when you get promoted to senior associate. It would feel so good to be promoted to manager. Like these are signs you're crushing it. And if you stop crushing it or you don't like it, all you need is a different company and then everything will be better. The culture will fix it all. And I just had to admit after over a decade of that, that it wasn't working. I was doubling down on the wrong stuff. And so I just had this clarity that I was the problem. That I really had a lot of self-doubt at that point. Is there something wrong with me? Why am I so unhappy? But I knew that continuing down the path I was told was going to like lead to success was not leading me closer to myself. It was leading me further away. So for me, it was like this just, you know, real serious moment, an epiphany of like, I'm going to blink now and become 65, having waited my whole life to retire to live my life and trying to squeeze in a lifetime of joy and fun and adventure and peace into like 10 good years. But at that time, I was in my early 30s and I'm like, if I do this now, I can have like 40 good years. And it just didn't even really feel like a trade-off. I think I trusted that if I did what I needed to do, I would figure it out. And the worst case is that I would struggle to get a job. And quite honestly, I could do that. I've found jobs before. I found jobs as a 21-year-old who had no experience. Like, why did I think that I was going to be so limited, right? But I did. That's what they tell you. And so it took a lot of courage. But I do credit my life coach as well for helping me see my life in a way where I saw the limiting beliefs and then decided to stop believing them.
So how did you plan for your break? Because you mentioned, you know, paying off debt, you had a coach. I mean, walk us through those steps. How do you plan for that?
Yeah, absolutely. Start with a foundation, setting a foundation, knowing what your version of success is. So, you know, in the intro, we talked about the break blueprint. That is learned from my own experience and my experience having coached, you know, dozens of people through breaks. And every single client, no matter where they are, if they find me at the end of a break, if they're planning a break, if they're unsure that they can take a break, we always start with the foundation. We start with your purpose statement and 3 to 4 themes that are going to be pillars of this experience. You need to know what success is when you're developing this plan. And so similarly, got really clear on what would a successful experience need? What would it look like? And how would it feel, right? And once I understood that, I could then go on to another important step, which is saving money, estimating the cost, making sure you have means to pay for that break. I did not. I had like $1,500 in my bank account. So I had to change some things about how I spent money. And I did. And I actually still did a lot of amazing things. I got Invisalign, which was like $3,000 during this process of saving money. So it wasn't that I didn't do anything. I was just very thoughtful about where I was putting my dollars. And once I had that money, you know, it was like, okay, I've got the foundation. I understand what this break is about. I've got the savings and now I'm ready. And then it's just a matter of taking the courageous leap and being really clear about, again, what success is so that when life hands you big old nasty surprises, you can always reground yourself in what is this experience supposed to be? What is it meant, you know, meant to be for me? My younger brother very unexpectedly passed away a week before my break started. And I had been planning my break for 2 years. I'd been saving for 18 months. I gave 8 months notice at my job. This was in no part of my plan was this anything that I ever saw coming. And it was because of that foundation and knowing what was really at stake and also understanding what it is that I needed to get out of my experience that I was able to stay on a path to take a break, although it did look a little bit different. I questioned if I even wanted a break at that point. It's like, I've lost my favorite person. Why am I even here anymore? You know? And it was like, okay, like, this is why. This is what I'm doing. This is what my goal is. This is what I need in my life. And so I gave myself permission to have that. So foundation, the purpose statement, the themes, and the money were critical.
Yeah. And I'm sorry about the passing of your brother. And just wonder, like, you think about the risks, the potential drawbacks from taking a break like that, you know, what were some of those things that crossed your mind? Because I know it wasn't easy going through it.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't. You know, there were a couple big scary things that I wrestled with while I was saving money and, you know, planning this break. Number one was the fear I think a lot of us in the U.S. have. What if I have a health crisis and I don't have my employer-provided insurance, right? How do I pay for that? Can I go broke if I get cancer? Is that the end of my life? And then I've given up my insurance, right? And to some extent, sadly, that is a concern, right? What's going to happen? But what I have found, you know, is that a lot of my clients have been really resourceful. So I myself was able to go on the exchange and to healthcare.gov and find a plan. I got a supplement for that plan. It wasn't the most amazing coverage, but it was enough to feel like catastrophic stuff would be covered. But some of my clients extend COBRA because they really need that coverage. So they just budget in their break proactively to pay for COBRA to continue. Some people have partners and they go on their insurance and they flip things around. I mean, there are options and opportunities. The other big fear I had besides having a health crisis, going broke, was what if there's no job waiting for me at the end of this? I only had 3 years of experience and I was about to quit it and take a break. I wasn't coming back with a decade of experience. And I really didn't know what to expect. But I leaned on the belief that I wanted to change my life anyway. And if I showed up to the best of my ability, I was going to find something that was aligned with what I wanted to do, even if it paid less. And I had to make peace with that because that was something, you know, I was really concerned about. I also deferred and put into forbearance my MBA loans. So trying to stop interest collections where I could, but like knowing that that was part of the cost of taking a break too, was like accruing that interest while I was gone and just like mentally accepting that. So, you know, a lot of fear around health, money, and career, as far as what could be waiting for me on the other end of it.
So now you've pushed past all of that, and now you started your break. What did you do on your break? So curious as to what you actually did.
Yeah, so many things. It was a lot of travel. I started with a 3-month road trip through the United States, and that was awesome. It was an easy sort of transition because it wasn't extreme international travel. It was, you know, more leisurely and in a familiar place, but seeing new places I hadn't been before. I saw the Grand Canyon. I saw the White Sands National Monument. And it was like so incredible to be out west and see all the national parks, but just other cities too, I just hadn't been to. I saw lots of friends. But then, you know, at the end of that road trip, it was getting close to holiday season and it was the first holiday without my brother. So I spent a lot of time at home with my family, kind of reconnecting with them and just, you know, processing that loss on a different level. My mom also had some surgery. So I was so grateful to be able to just be home with her and not have to feel like I was juggling, you know, my job and time off and all this stuff. And then I went abroad and I had an epic time. I flew to Colombia for my first stop and then went down to Argentina, then over to Western Europe, spent some time there. And then I was in Southeast Asia for almost 4 months, got certified as a yoga instructor, just did a lot of cool things. And then at the end, it was time to explore what was going to come next. So I actually relocated to Denver and started taking classes. I did like adult enrichment stuff and community like community education stuff where you go and drop in on classes and learn about all kinds of things. One of the classes I took was how to ferment vegetables on your own. But if it was interesting to me, it didn't matter if it was practical or not. I was leaning in to see, what do I really want? And then eventually I realized I wanted to do my own thing. But if I was being very honest, I was afraid of carrying all the debt that I had from my business school loans into entrepreneurship. And I felt like I can't put that pressure on my business to pay off my $700 a month loans on top of the other things I have. So I decided to go back to corporate with the very explicit goal of becoming debt-free as fast as possible. And I did do that in less than 2 years, but it was really like that was the top priority.
Wow. So from all the experiences that you had traveling around the United States and going to Colombia and Argentina and Western Europe and then Southeast Asia for 4 months, I know you learned a lot, you know, about those cultures. What did you learn about yourself during your break?
Well, we talked about what I was afraid of before, right? Before I took a break. And what I realized is those fears were so minimal compared to the fear of not realizing how amazing life could be and not fulfilling dreams that I had had since I was a kid. I had wanderlust as a child. I just never got to act on it. I didn't get a passport until I was in my late 20s. But when I saw that I could go to Vietnam on a one-way ticket and work my way from Hanoi all the way down to Ho Chi Minh and do it all alone and make friends and be on a bus where I was the only Westerner for 6 hours and the bus would stop in towns that it was not supposed to stop. Like, it had stops that were just made up, you know, like there was a friend of someone on the side of the road. And I was just like, I have no idea when I'm going to get to where I'm going. I don't even know when we're going to get there because every single announcement was in Vietnamese.
Black Corporate Life is a leadership training and development company focused on empowering Black professionals to thrive in corporate America. We provide classes, coaching, and an online community of like-minded individuals to help Black men and women in corporate America reach their full potential. Join our online community at bclalliance.com.
But I did it, and people on the bus helped me. They saw me looking confused and they helped me, right? And it was just so many experiences just reinforced that the world is a better place than I had thought it was at the time. And that humanity, there's so much good in humanity that I had forgotten about. Also that I am so capable. I am so resourceful. There were times where I was so scared. I remember getting off the bus in Turin, Italy, and I don't speak Italian. I speak a tiny bit of Spanish, but I had a map and it wasn't working and my phone wasn't working and I was just so lost. And I remember like near tears for 30 minutes walking around because the bus dropped me off at the wrong, like I got off at the wrong stop and the town center was close, but I could not find it. And it was like getting dark. And I just happened to stumble upon this man with a cart who was selling other maps. And I was trying to communicate to him where I was going and he ended up helping me. And it was so scary though. I was like, I had these visions of dying on the side of the road, like just starving to death and like no one ever understanding me and just like dying alone. But it's like, oh my gosh, Katrina, you survived all of that. Like there's nothing you can't do. And I think it just up-leveled my belief in myself and my capabilities on top of feeling like so much more is possible. But at the end of the day, what was at risk was my life. And I don't think I realized that. And so thinking about, am I going to get a job that pays less money? Oh no, I don't know what I would do versus this is my life. Like, if I want to live the good life that I feel I could create and that I want to be living, that I've envisioned and had in my brain since I was a kid, this is at stake because the old life is not going to change if I don't change it. It's like, wow, there was so much at stake and I didn't even really realize it. So that lesson was very powerful too.
And I am sure you know that a lot of our listeners are stuck in these jobs, that they have these dreams, these aspirations of wanting to be able to travel, to take a break. And so many people cannot get over that hump. And just the fact that you did it, that you bet on yourself, just mad respect for that. Because I think a lot of people would still say no, even after hearing your story. And So how have you been able to convince people to say, you know what? I know you're afraid of this. I know you've got these potential roadblocks in front of you. How did you convince them to get over the hump?
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's a great question, James. So On the one hand, the people I don't connect with one-on-one that I don't coach, I think the ones that have done it that send me messages like, thank you so much, you've inspired me, they follow me for a long time, right? They listen to multiple podcast episodes. They've seen content I've put out. They see the client success stories I share. They maybe even do their own research in like YouTube and things, but they basically surround themselves and immerse themselves in the possibility that you can do it and be okay. So I think creating evidence and collecting more evidence and normalizing it is really powerful. But there are some people that's not enough. That's helpful, but then they always think, well, I'm different. My situation's different. My fears are real. And like, I can't do it. I can't. I have too many limitations. And so those people who become my clients, right? It's not even about convincing them. It's about stripping things away so they see the truth, right? So they see the truth. I have a client who hired me and was struggling with taking a break and had been thinking about taking a break for years. She was in a toxic situation. Like, her job was toxic and had been for a long time. And it was like she constantly needed just that touch point and that affirmation of, look at everything that you've done. Look at the amazing network you have. They can't take that away from you. Look at the doctor telling you that you are in adrenal fatigue and your body is shutting down. Think about what happens if nothing changes, right? And so it's like just gently but constantly and firmly reaffirming the decision and creating a sense of safety that you've got the tools to navigate it. And the understanding, again, of what's really at stake. And I think, again, instead of convincing, it's really about, let me strip away all the BS so you see the truth. Mm-hmm. You see what's really on the table and that you can see yourself as being worthy of this time off, of being worthy and capable of having a dream and letting it happen to you instead of buying into this idea that the hamster wheel is the only way that you get to be happy. Like, that's not it, right?
So, question for you. I don't know if you've been asked this before, but I'm just curious. So you've taken your break. You had a great time, great experience. You've come back now. What made you pivot and say, you know what? I want to help other people do this. Like, what was the driving factor or force that said, you know what? I want to do this as a business for myself and help other people experience what I did.
Yeah, it was mostly selfish. I love helping people. I do. And my dad has a master's in psychology. So there was a time when I was younger where I thought, oh, it'd be interesting to be a therapist. But then I realized I would just be like dealing with heavy stuff all the time. That's not really my jam. I'm more of like a go forward and like positive encouragement person. And also, I really love connecting with people. And in my jobs, in my corporate jobs, I was the person that would have, you know, a 30-minute conversation with an actuary that didn't really like people and have them laughing or have them, you know, like leaving. It was just like, I liked bringing the light with me and I liked connecting with people. And so when I was thinking about returning to corporate after my break, I knew and like reaffirmed that these things are a really meaningful part of who I am. And I wanted to use them. I didn't want to go back into a life where I couldn't like let them shine. And so for me, having had a life coach that changed my life, I remember it planted a seed where I was like, I would love to help people like this, but I don't know if I could. I don't know what that would look like. I don't even know if I really want to do my own business. And at the end of my break, I remember thinking selfishly also, I want to feel this free. I want to feel this free forever. I want to create a reality where I am the boss of my life and I don't feel like I'm handing that power back over to someone to feel like I don't get my own needs met. And so eventually, right, I had to pay off that debt, but eventually I did that. And so it was like, okay, I want to try being my own boss just for the freedom and fulfillment aspect. And I want to do it in a way that lights me up and that uses the strengths that feel like zone of genius. It doesn't take energy or effort. One of my clients referred to me as relentlessly positive. And it's funny because, you know, I'm real. I'm not like toxic positivity person, but I do think that I have a lot of resiliency and I just automatically think in a positive frame, which really helps clients who are struggling see things differently. So it's kind of like all of it came together where I was like, I'm going to try this. But becoming a career break coach in 2017 was really hard. I've thought about this a lot and people talk about how amazing blue ocean ideas are. And I'm like, when you're swimming in that ocean all by yourself and no one even knows the ocean is out there, it's really lonely and hard and scary. And I can't believe I stuck with it for 7 years, but I have. And I'm so grateful that, you know, in this last few years, I feel like breaks are really getting the credit that they deserve. They're starting to gain momentum. More and more people are taking them, but it wasn't always that way. Another walkout on faith, right?
Right, exactly. So when you think about like the practical steps, what are like 3 to 5 things that Black professionals should consider when, you know, when taking a, or considering taking a career break?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, specifically when it comes to Black professionals, there's a whole lot of stuff to be unpacked and let go of, right? Because the corporate environment, I don't think is really that kind to most of us, but it's definitely not kind. It's definitely not kind to we Black professionals, like not. And so, you know, just keeping it real. And so I think that the idea that we have to be the best, we have to be overqualified, we have to sacrifice parts of ourselves to create that success, all of those beliefs are just magnified. And so, you know, the first thing I just want to say is, please know that you are worth it and you deserve peace. Like, there's no earning it. Like, you just deserve it. And I'm here to tell you there's a way that you can create that for yourself without jeopardizing your whole life. So number one, think about your life with no changes. You're on the hamster wheel. You're exhausted. You have this nagging feeling that you want something to be different. Your body is maybe shutting down. Maybe you're really just like running on empty all the time. What happens if nothing changes? Because I'm going to spoil the ending and say, if you just get a different job or a promotion, you're going to end up back in the same place. So just imagine 20 more years of no changes. Okay. So think about that and think about what that would look like. Next, I want you to write down all the fears that come up when you think about taking a break. Fill in the blank, this sentence, right? I could never take a break because it would be crazy because, and then just go, write it down. Once you have those fears listed out, it's powerful just to see them and to acknowledge them instead of having them rattle around in your head. But also, I want you to go back to that life that you don't want, the life with no changes. And I want you to think about the trade-off, right? Am I willing to face some of these fears? Some of them that seem irrational now that I've written them down, like, you know, I'll never have health insurance. Well, I might have less nice health insurance, but I can get health insurance. I'll never find another job. Is that true? Are you never going to find another job? You might not like it as much. It might pay less. But like, again, go back to life with no changes, right? Because we're just talking about worst case scenarios, not even what will happen. And decide if it's worth the sacrifice. Next, estimate. That's important. Know what the rough estimate of what a break would cost you. Sometimes that's just knowing what you're spending every month and then looking at like, are there any costs I could cut out if I was on a break and had a lot of time, and just looking at like, what would 6 months of cost of living be, right? If you were going to travel and go somewhere with a lower cost of living, maybe it would even be less. Once you have this number, please reframe it as an investment in that better life. So you think about the life with no changes, right? You think about the sacrifice. Is this dollar amount worth investing in something better and something different? This dollar amount is probably going to be less than a new car. It's probably going to be less than 2 years of really nice vacations, right? You could do a 6 month break on like 15 grand, 20 grand, 25 grand. I did 20 months on 40 grand, right? Think about that, right? Is it worth the investment? Is my whole, and not just for the break, the whole rest of your life, the next 40 years. Is it worth 25 grand to have an amazing 40 years? Right?
Right.
And then go buy my book, because I tell you how to plan. There, chapter 4 is where you want to start, where you go through how to develop a purpose statement, how to set your themes, how to set a budget, how to set a timeline. That's the really practical stuff. But on a higher level, right, to get that self-buy-in, really understand what's at stake, please.
So just backing up, there's a lot to unpack there, but just backing up, where did the idea to write a book come from? Like, what made you transition from, you know what, I like this whole deal of helping people experience a break. Now I'm going to write a book about it.
Yeah. So I had a proposal that went nowhere that I had written with someone in 2017. And I was thinking at the time, I want to write a manual type book that will explain all that I know, right? So I had coached, you know, several dozen people at that time. And I thought, oh, I've learned some really amazing things. I want to help more people do this. But 2017 was not like, it was not the most, you know, like fertile time for this seed of an idea to take root. And so the proposal just kind of died. It didn't go anywhere. And I also felt like books are really hard. Books are really hard to write. And I don't even know if I'm a writer. I don't even know if I would be a good writer. So I'm just going to put this on the shelf and let that go. And I did. And I did not think about it again until November of 2022. I got an email one day, very unassuming email, from the publisher of the For Dummies series, Wiley & Sons. And it was an acquisitions editor reaching out to say, hey, would you be interested in writing Taking a Career Break for Dummies? If so, I would love to talk to you. And I thought it was a scam or spam. I almost deleted it. It was a very basic email, but I Googled her name. I Googled the company and I was like, oh my gosh, I think this is legit. And so I wrote her back and I was like, yes, I have lots of questions for you. Let's talk. And so I asked her a million questions on our video chat. And then I was like, okay, I honestly don't even know if I can do this. She seems to think that I can. And I just have to believe that she's done this enough that if she sees in me what, you know, like what it takes to be a good author, especially of a For Dummies book, then I'm going to trust that this is what I'm supposed to do. And quite honestly, to have the biggest well-known brand of reference books, like manual type books, come to me and ask me to write a book when the book I had envisioned 5 years before was a manual how-to guide. It's like, do I want to tell the universe I'm silly and dumb and I just want to turn this away? Like, that's not my brand, right? My brand is I curse a lot and melt down and freak out and have all kinds of self-doubt running around in my head. But at the end of the day, I step on the line and I start running my race. If it's a career break, right? If it's coming back to pay off my debt, if it's launching a business, helping people quit their jobs, even during a pandemic, and talking about breaks before people were even open to the idea, right? I step on the line and I run my race. And so this was one of those times where I was like, okay, I'm going to melt down and then I'm going to pull it together and then I'm going to step on the line and run my race. And then I melted down a lot more times. There were a lot of breakdowns and self-doubt and moments of like, I don't think I can do this when I was writing it, but I just kept thinking about the reader. And I was like, somebody out there really needs this and I know it. And if I can get it out in a way that makes sense, I'm going to change someone's life. So I just kept going.
Well, so, you know, I really love just everything you said about that. And just curious as to, if you had to think about your younger self, like what advice would you give Katrina from 20 years ago, knowing what you know now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, she was just starting out. I am grateful. I'm going to preface my answer by saying I'm grateful for the journey I've had because it has afforded me everything I have, including what I have today, right? Having had that corporate experience is how I ended up on a break, right? And it allowed me to do a lot of things making good money that I did not grow up being able to do because my parents, you know, were like, we were probably lower middle class. And so I'm taking vacations, right? For one, eating out at restaurants. And so I did a lot of cool things that younger me dreamed of doing. So I'm grateful for what I have been afforded. And I know it's a part of my story. But if I could know then what I know now, I would tell that version of me, please be courageous. To try will never be a mistake. It will never be in vain to attempt something that you really want. You're always going to land on your feet. You're always going to find a way. So just do what you want to do, girl. Just do it. Don't get trapped into things you don't want to do and like a great salary and, you know, people knowing what you do and being impressed by that. Like, please just be true to yourself. And to make it very concrete, I can tell you, I don't think I ever really tell this story, but when I was at Howard, I did a year at Howard my junior year. And when I was at Howard University, I joined kind of spontaneously this group that was new, and it was called the Illtop. And there was like, Illtop was like a satire magazine that they'd had for a long time, kind of like a Mad TV type thing, but they were bringing on the sketch part of it to be like an SNL Mad TV type thing. And I auditioned for it and I got in. And I had the best freaking time and I was good at it. And it was so much fun. I had so much doubt, but I just did it and I loved it. And I actually like got cast in several of the skits we did. And it was like all these parts of me were coming out that I hadn't really let out before. And I remember leaving and thinking, I would really like to lean into this and give it a try. And then once I left the bubble, I was like, what was I thinking? I have to make money. Come on. I have to have a good salary. Like, this is my chance. I have this degree. I've got all this debt. I'm going to pay it off. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to go be successful. I'm going to go crush it at life. And then maybe, you know, maybe like 10 years down the road, I could try it again if I wanted to. And I never did. And I mean, now that dream has morphed and changed, right? But oh my gosh, I wish I had just tried. And if I failed, it doesn't even matter. I just would have loved to have known what was possible. And now I never will. And that's okay. I've made peace with it. My life is still pretty good. But I would definitely tell that younger me to be courageous and know that there really is no failing. There's just learning. And so go for it. It's never going to be in vain. And you're always going to land on your feet.
So Katrina, a lot of folks are out here just living life, you know, going through the same old stuff every day, year after year. But what I really enjoyed about our conversation is that you are creating a life that's worth living. And so for folks who are interested in doing the same thing, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you, to reach you, to get some help?
Yeah. Reach me on LinkedIn for sure. Connect with me there. I do free chats with people that are like, I want to know more about what you do. I want to tell you about my situation. Like, what do you think? Even if you're already on a break. So, you know, definitely connect with me on LinkedIn. Tell me you want to chat. I also have a link to set up free calls. But if you're on the fence and you're thinking, I'm curious about this, I would like to know more. I also have a free download that is 45 epic things to do on a break. It is born from all of my coaching clients. I've distilled it down to 45 of the most incredible things my clients have done on a break. Some of them are very simple. They're things that clients who did not travel have done. And then some of them are epic, like starting an animal sanctuary, going to hike the Camino de Santiago for 400 or 500 miles, right? But downloading that freebie will put you on my mailing list and it will keep us connected. But more than anything, it will give you this evidence that breaks are amazing and you'll start to get a clear picture of what it could look like. So if you want to talk to me, please reach out. And if you're not quite ready for that, I say download that 45 things and get started.
So Katrina, I really appreciate you just coming on the show today and just sharing all of your insights. I've taken a whole bunch of notes here and I'm going to try and summarize this into the three lessons that I took. Number one, that, you know, we should stay focused on the things that truly matter in life, because you can live an entire life and look back and say, you know what, I really wasted my time and opportunity. Number two, it's okay to give yourself permission to take a break. And a lot of times we have to start there. Forget about what everybody else is saying, what they're thinking. Give yourself permission to take that step. And number three, you can absolutely take a career break without jeopardizing your career and actually experience the life that you really, really want to have. So Katrina, I'm going to throw it back to you one more time. Any final thoughts for our listeners before we go?
Whew, yes. Number one, I got two. Number one, final thought. Please know that a break is actually an integral part of a successful career journey. You are not a machine. You are not supposed to be running nonstop, like never pausing to reflect on your dreams, on your goals, how they're different, how you're different. Never. So please know it's actually the way it should be. Professional athletes take days off. You should take time off, right? And number two is, James, you're amazing. And I just want to say that. I want to take time at the end of this to just circle back and, you know, give gratitude to you for inviting me on the show, but also just for creating this podcast and for the work that you're doing and the platform that you're building. I think similar to me, you know, you're stepping out in a way to build a space for people that feels more safe, that feels like there can be purpose here, there can be understanding and acceptance here. There can be support and support for everyone to really live a better life, no matter, you know, what you're coming from, what your experience is in the past. It's like, how do you move forward in a way that you are being true to yourself and living a better life? And I just think you're doing that work in a different way. So I just want to say, I'm so glad you're here doing this, and I'm so glad I got to be a part of it.
Thank you so much, Katrina. I really, really appreciate that, especially coming from you. I've known you for a while now, and just really appreciate the compliment, and just energized me to keep going. So thank you so much. And hopefully, if you're willing, we can come back and do a part two at some point.
Oh, heck yes. After all these TV appearances and stuff, yes, we're going to get something good, and then I'm going to come back and talk all about it.
That would be awesome. So thank you again, and have a blessed day. Black Corporate Life is a leadership training and development company focused on empowering Black professionals to thrive in corporate America. We provide classes, coaching, and an online community of like-minded individuals to help Black men and women in corporate America reach their full potential. Subscribe to our podcast by visiting blackcorporatelife.com or search wherever you listen to podcasts. And join the Black Corporate Life Alliance at bclalliance.com.